stop for a second there. The seal coating business. I'd heard about this. So that's the major difference. There's an asphalt-based versus a coal tar-based.
Not all asphalt sealants are created equal. One is a asphalt-based, and one is a coal tar-based. And all indications are that the coal tar-based application, while more long-lasting than the asphalt one, is much more problematic, both to, you know, for kids tracking it into the house, but also being washed off and into the waterways because of the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are much more prevalent. And I did a survey of the companies that service Seacoast, New Hampshire. 50% of them use both, and unless you ask for one or the other, you'll get what they give you. So,
what kind of buffer would Rimmel be expected to have?
Maintain a buffer next to all bodies of water.
But that isn't mandatory, necessarily.
In New Hampshire, it's actually only 25 feet in those adjacent to bodies of water that have been included in the Shoreland Protection Act. Equivalent of what Maine has. Maine's shoreland zoning laws are much more restrictive than New Hampshire. And I haven't looked at them with respect to what fertilizers you could put down.
Well, I'm really talking about Grimmel.
Biorretention
area in one of your slides, which
sounds
like a better buffer than just shrubbery.
Well, the thing with Grimmel, I don't want to cover that ground again, but that baseline study has to be done. What's there now for heavy metals? And those should be the limits for anything that they do going forward.
It makes sense because otherwise the town goes, well, you know, if there's a problem, then it's an annually renewed junkyard license, so we can deal with it. But if they don't have a baseline, they're never going to be able to do anything. Go, well, we think it might be.
Right, that's right. It's all
they tried to make it all very nebulous. Their lawyer came up with this whole argument, and then our planning board chairman parroted him subsequently. And he talks about, well, how can we know about mercury? It drops out of the sky, and they'll... Both men put their hands up in the air and wave like it magically, you know.
Well, you were telling them
that's it.
I mean, people were telling about the problem of the not removed mercury switches and so on. That, you know, they're theory they're removing mercury switches, but in actuality,
my son works for a auto shredder at AIM, and they're supposed to take the mercury switches out. They take the ones off the hood. And the trunk, because they're easy to get at. But you've got mercury switches in many vehicles that are, they don't put them in anymore, but the vehicles being junked frequently have mercury switches, just like a little glass bulb. You know. And then there are anti-skid braking systems where they have mercury inertial switches, and those are almost impossible to get out. They don't go after them. So when that machine goes through the shredder, that old car, all these things get torn apart, and the mercury is spattered everywhere.
And it's
and that's why it was. And Grimmel tried to, you know, pretend that they weren't responsible for any mercury that was discovered. That, as I say, Midwestern oil coal power plants are, and it's true there is some truth to that.
Yeah,
Penobscot River, we have a serious problem, and it extends. Perhaps as far down above background levels, it's recognizable as Rockland. But we had essentially a Clorox plant that leaked great quantities of mercury just below Bangor, below Brewer in Orrington.
The other thing about this atmospheric thing, the biggest disappointment to me about our ocean acidification commissions and so on is that, meanwhile, I've been trying to go, well, look, there are these legacy problems, just like GAC chemical, if you looked at any of the stuff we've been doing on that, that basically made sulfuric acid,
right,
and, you know, was allowed to dump these spoils from making alum with that, you know, taking aluminum and line the shore. The shore expanded way out, in fact. And now they, with these wooden racks that they made back in the 40s, 50s, and in 1970, they had to stop putting things on the shore. But then that also meant they stopped maintaining these things. And so now there's, the mud is, well, the mud is unbelievable. The simple, just a simple quick look here, you know, is
sort of silvery on the surface places.
I have another picture here. But this one right here, you can kind of see this plume right here. This is the acid plant, the old acid plant.
Yeah.
And this, the pH is like 1 point something, and it gets stronger, you know, low, you know, the pH rises, but this whole air is generally achieves about a 5 in the water. And so it's this sort of inside of this cove. That's the Sears Island Causeway Road is right there.
Okay.
So this is a pocket cove that concentrates, and this is the mitigation sandbar, which it seems like it may well be helping concentrate things, although this is intertidal. But this, we tried and tried and tried to get them to deal with this. Now they're promising. What they've agreed to do is they found that next to the acid plant, there used to be sulfur piles, you know, for feedstocks, actually this area right here. And they've determined suddenly that, well, you know, when they stopped doing that, even though it was a sulfur pit with a pile on top, they just took the pile off and graveled over the sulfur that was there. And it's been, every rain has been just, you know, releasing things down here. But we just can't get them to believe in the plume, even though that plume is tattooed into the mud. That's how thick it is. And there's a nice picture on a CLF site from back when they were fighting the acid, how silvery this mud is here.
Yep, I see it.
And DEP goes, what? You say plume, they just go, well, we don't see one. We don't see any problem there. We've had the craziest time with EPA, and, of course, them going, well, it's up to the main DEP.
And we don't see the EPA. We see the DEP.
Yeah, and DEP has just been driving us.
Well, what did the Ocean Acidification Commission say when you showed them that?
Well, they were interested. They had the regional director of DEP who gave a talk, you know, responded to if there's a problem in Anderson, you know, and so as far as I can tell from the report that was put out, they haven't mentioned dealing with these legacy sites. And to me, this is like from the first research, that's the worst acidification spot in New England of land-based acid, totally uncontrolled, because it's, like I said, it's a long... This used to be like this, and this is just a big fill of that stuff.
One of our samples that was confirmed by this doctor, Mark Green at St. Joseph College, he's an acidification specialist. He said it was about the acidity of battery acid coming out of
our
battery. I mean, if you bathe your finger in it, it would start to get sore pretty quickly.
You play with that stuff, and your hands start burning.
Yeah. But the real problem with the acid is, more than anything, I think, is it leaches out all kinds of heavy metals that are in the tailings from when they made superphosphate. They treat crushed
phosphate
rock
made there.
From Florida. They bring it up here, crush it, and treat it with homemade sulfuric acid, and then they ship it up to Aroostook County for potato fertilizer.
Yeah.
You know,
that was big during World War II.
Fertilizer going the other. There were three or four factories between Belfast and Stockton at one time.
So we've been trying to get them to deal with the legacy sites. I mean, it's like talking about low-hanging fruit. It's right there, leaking out of the mud. And at least there's something called the VRAP, Voluntary Remediation, or Response Action Plan.
Otherwise, it's about mine.
Yeah, it's the great pollution pardon thing, because if they agreed, and they said they pretending that the plume doesn't exist, of course, that they would dig out some of that sulfur waste and put some impervious shore and some riprap right in front of that one part of that little peninsula there, and then they would be forgiven for the 15 years of exceeding spilling acid into the area if they just stopped doing it. That's the whole beauty, I guess, of the voluntary remediation thing, is you get to be pardoned for your sins as long as you clean up now. And right now, though, the last time I talked to, what's his name there, the guy at Maine DEP who
Nick Hodgkins.
Yeah, Nick Hodgkins. he said they're still weighing the company whether or not to do this. And it's really annoying because that was their response of trying to shut us up. And, okay, we're going to do something. Go away. And now they're still weighing whether to do something or not. And it's partly the old waiting game, right? Can you outweigh us? Outweigh us? Sure.
That is part of it.
And the thing is, but that's, we're not going away. I've been bothered.
Do you want, you want to know what I think about the Waterkeeper program itself?
Yeah.
I think you ought to have one. I don't, I know that Joe is an advocate for this affiliate structure.
Mm-hmm.
You could use one on the west side of Penobscot Bay. I think you need to start small, and you could grow from there.